Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're going to dive right into this. This is actually the second episode of my time actually down there in San Diego with Billie Jean. One of my dear friends, a guy I've really kind of admired the way in which he actually approaches his business. And hopefully you got a ton out of the last episode. This one's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk a ton about what's it like being a black man in the marketing world. And most importantly, what's it like being a dad? So hang tight. You're going to love these lessons. Stay tuned. Two last things real quick. One is you're passionate about your daughter.
Yes.
So how is it being a single dad raising your daughter?
Very hard.
Because, I mean, it's not like you have a small business here.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, extremely hard. You know, it was the first time in my life where I couldn't pause the obligation. So, for example, if it's like, let's say you're in even this interview, right? If, like, something really came up, I could have been like, Dave, can't make it. We got to reschedule, and we would have been fine. Like, you can almost reschedule everything. But, you know, someone told me a long time ago, they said, you know, kids, they only see currency in one form, and they only value one thing. And what is that? Time. And I was like, wow. And it became this non-negotiable thing for me of like, this is the area of my life that there's no falling short. There's no, like, when I leave work, like, people, it's me and her. Like, and that's been since she was like one.
Yeah.
And a half, one, you know. So if anybody's watching, you have a 1.5-year-old, you know, as men, a lot of time, not a stereotype, but a lot of time as men, dude, we defer to mom.
Yeah.
Mom, take care of this. Mom, do the best. Mom, do this. You know, and I got a daughter. She got big old curly hair. And now I'm sitting there combing hair, Dave. After work, 4 o'clock, I'm doing bath and diaper change and combing hair. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And you can't outsource it, right? I guess you can, right? I take that back. I guess you can. But I didn't want to. You know, and so it was
back to your currency thing.
Yeah, exactly. It was the scariest thing ever for me because I just didn't know what I was doing. You have all these fears, right? Like, you know, I have the monitor, even still today at nighttime when she's sleeping, I have the visual and the audio one. And I like every probably 6 minutes, I'm like, you breathing? You good? You're going around? You're there? Like paranoia. But anyways, so that was really challenging because I'd be so exhausted from the day. And then, you know, boom, 3 o'clock comes on. I'm with her, you know, 3 to 8 o'clock doing all of these things. And it's also in business, like we leave right now. This business is still going to do stuff. I leave my daughter right now and go, she's going to do stuff to endanger her life. Like it was like so demanding. But honestly, man, I think for me, it was one, just being madly in love with her. But two, as a black man and being in a leadership role, our ads have now been seen 600 million times, and seeing how many people look up to me, I said, what kind of example do I want to set to everybody who watches me right now in a similar spot? Do I want to go with the narrative of, I got to work, so she's got to be good, I got to do my thing, and da-da-da-da-da, or am I going to say, no. Do things differently, Billy, and am I going to say, okay, hey, I'm going to make her a priority no matter what, and I'm still going to do my business, and I'm not going to sacrifice either. I'm not going to sacrifice time, but I'm also not going to sacrifice my business growth. And I'm so sick of the conversation always being either or, because that's a lack of creativity. How can I do both? So here we are. We'll cross $10 million, you know, this year, which is mass for us. We started from nothing, and this is all while having my daughter more than ever, right? Like, we're always together, and I'm doing it, and we spend a ton. So we have the greatest day. We swim together, we, you know, all these things, and I didn't have to sacrifice either one, right? And so I think that, for me, is I don't know, man. And it's rewarding because now she's, you know, about to be 4 and can talk a little bit more, but we're so close.
Like, no, it's so fun for me. I've loved even seeing her in your ads. Her blue Ferrari, your blue Ferrari. I mean, just the...
So that was integration. That's why, like, the either or. The creativity was saying, hey, how do I fuse this together so it doesn't? And it was, okay, hey, Kaya, I got Kaya this time. Okay, she's going to be in the ad today. We're going to do this together. And I was like, well, what advantages can I give her? you know, because I have all this stuff in here. Like, whoa, I can teach all this stuff super young. I didn't have to be that late to know. So, you know, she come on sets and they've all seen her. She's always in the office and stuff. She hangs out with us. You know, she'll do assignments with me and things like that. And I bring her into videos. If I'm looking at a video and I say, look at this one. What do you think is this? And, you know, she doesn't say much. I like it. Or, you know, like, that's a good one, Daddy. Like, she has fun with it. I'll bring her on stage at a lot of my speaking gigs. She comes with me. She sees that. So, you know, we're really, you know, infused.
I love it. It goes back to the, you know, the quote, no success can compensate for failure in the home. And I just,
That's powerful.
Again, I've had the opportunity of seeing you with her so many different times. Yeah. And you're so passionate about her. And I think it's such a great example to everybody about the fact that when it comes to kids and when it comes to family, that's something, you can sacrifice a lot of things. That's a sacrifice you're never going to get.
The 18 summers thing, I think about that one frequently. Yeah. If you guys aren't familiar with it, but they said, you know, when you have your kids, you usually only get 18 summers with them. And that is way too tangible. Oh. And that, again, it just goes to story. Like, think about how powerful that is. That's so, at 18, I'm about to be four down already.
Yeah.
Like, and I already know, like, it may be 18, but let's be real. Once you're 13, I never wanted to hang out with my parents anymore. You know? I want to play video games, go play sports. So I'm like, hold on now. I may legit have six more of these. Okay. So, you know, yeah.
It's cool, though. It's.
And I will add one more thing, if you don't mind, is I'm very happy about the sacrifices that I made in my 20s to get to this point, because when I, with my daughter, I was really thankful that financially I was in a spot to be able to provide for her the way I wanted to. And, you know, we weren't expecting a child. And her mom's great, by the way. Her mom's like, we have a super great relationship, and she's a super duper fantastic mom. But if I didn't have the financial, you know, like where I'm at today, this would have been 1,000 times harder.
Oh, for sure.
And I consistently tell people all the time, like, especially young people that ask me questions, I'm like, yo, prepare your seed now. Like, you know, protection, like build your foundation now, because as we grow, it just becomes more difficult. You know, like it really does, like with more responsibilities. And I'm just like, go all in. And so like these guys, they think my office, you know, they're young. A lot of us have grown together. But like they think I'm hard on them when I'm like, I don't care if you're tired. Keep going. Because when you have two babies in your hand, you're going to be like, this is hard. You know what I mean? Like, this is hard. You know, so I try and tell them, you know, and sometimes they hear me. Sometimes I think they just, I don't know. You know,
but dude, I can talk to you for hours. There's a whole, we'll go on a mentorship later, because that's, you've mentored your staff amazingly well. It's super cool to see, but we'll talk different time about that. I do want to talk about our time together in Vegas. We're sitting there, we've got Tony Robbins on stage, Dean's on stage, Russell, you're one of the top 10 affiliates for mastermind.com.
Yeah.
And I was so excited it was interesting to hear what each of the 10 were going to say. And I thought it was really cool that one of the things you brought up was the fact that how proud you were, the fact that you're basically, from your culture and everything else, you're the only black guy on stage.
Yeah.
And then it was really cool because you gave props to the number one affiliate, Jenna Kutcher.
She held it down for the ladies.
As the only lady.
Yeah.
And so, and again, your license plates, I'm black.
It is.
I want you to kind of address it. You've really gone after that. I think it's really cool. And I think too often people kind of hide behind things or they try. Again, this whole interview has been all about being different. And that's another way. But kind of dive into that for me.
Yeah, well, I think for me, and I'm glad you asked about this, it was so important. So my parents, you know, they both grew up on welfare. And my mom's one of 13, my dad one of 4. And, you know, I got like 60 cousins, 54 cousins, first cousins and the seconds and thirds, whatever. But, you know, when we were growing up, when you see a black man that was successful, most of the time it was sports. And it was musicians, and that was it.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, if you look back, it, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, started changing a little bit in the 90s. But if you look at the roles that African Americans, black people, we had in TV, it was always the help. It was always the criminal. Like, these are real things. Like people don't sleep on it because almost nothing didn't pertain to them, so it's easy to overlook. And so to me, like, driving around at my grandma's house, you're not going to see a Ferrari. You're not going to see a Lambo. No one has that, right? And it and what people don't understand is the whole privilege part is the privilege to know that it's possible. And what I mean by that is when you are in a situation where your main concern is your safety. And what I mean by that is when there's violence, when there's drugs, when there's sexual abuse, and your main number one thought that consumes you every day is your well-being, you are not thinking about success. Dreaming is a privilege. Because when you're in survival state, you're not doing any of those things. And so for me, it was like, I put the on black in there. And if you see me roll around, by over there by my grandma's house, people wave, they honk, they see you. Because it feels good to see someone with a similar upbringing accomplish things that may have been deemed impossible. Right? And a lot of people don't realize this. Like, they're like, well, Obama was president, so that means it's possible. Okay, he's the anomaly, but you got to remember, one thing we all agree on is you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most,
absolutely,
right? Okay, well, if the average of the people that you hang out with are all have jobs and they're just, you know, just good 9-to-5 jobs and they're living lives, maybe they don't make a ton of money, etc., that is way different than if the average of the five people that you're hanging out with are in prison, they're gangbanging, and they're in surrounded by drugs. That is not an equal playing ground.
No.
Like, not having is different than worrying about your safety. And that's what people don't realize. And a lot of minority communities, not all, that's what it is like, is where you're just completely there. And so, for me, what that is when I bring up race or something, and by the way, this is from, you know, my mother's daughter is white, right? Like, I went to private Catholic school with a whole bunch of white people. You know, my family is black, obviously, but I've had a very mixed, you know, upbringing. That's why I have vision and perspective tattooed on my wrist. I got friends of all different races. But my point is I just, for all races, you know, I just like to be a beacon of a possibility. And that doesn't mean I don't want white people to win. It doesn't mean I don't want anyone. I want everybody to fucking win. But I also realize being so close to it, there's a gap that we need to, as an African-American community, like, I want to see, that's what I said. I said, I want to see more people in this room. You know, I was up for Entrepreneur of the Year for San Diego, Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year. So it was a big banquet, the whole thing, a lot of the team came with me. And I go in there, same thing. I'm really the only black person there and the whole thing. And these are some of the most successful companies in San Diego. And I'm like, it's impossible to not think about, right? Like a lot of people, like even someone that I'm close with, they're like, oh, I said it. I was like, I was one of the black people. He's like, oh, come on, don't start with that. And I was just like, that's how disconnected you are from it. But I just wish if you were in a room full of all black people and they were all killing it, and it was a war to celebrate it. But then most of the white people that you knew weren't at that level. They were still struggling. They had all these other things to work out. You're going to have that fucking approach? I don't think so. You know what I mean? So I think it's just ignorance, and my job, especially having a platform where I can reach so many people, it's like, yeah, if I'm not going to bring it up and have the social responsibility and own that, then like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, how selfish could I be? So, yeah.
Dude, I
hope that
it.
Made sense.
No, it's awesome. Again, yeah. We go on for hours. You got a $10 million plus business to run here, so I want to be respectful of your time.
Trying to get to 100 million and billions.
I
like,
tell you, I can't wait,
here.
Man. Yeah. Can't wait for that number for you. Yeah. So again, super excited. If people want to get a hold of you, reach out, what's the best way for them to follow you, to contact you?
Follow us on Instagram. I post like personally on Instagram, or just go to billyjanismarketing.com. You will get pixeled and you will see our ads forever.
I highly recommend that you do. Go to billyjanismarketing.com. Yeah. Follow his ads.
Let me give a little plug. So there's a podcast. I don't know. When is this going to be released? Somewhere, eventually.
Yeah.
So
we actually need to talk about your podcast?
I was going to say.
Oh,
I'm not going to tell them what a Billy Jean's Marketing Presents. Try not.
Wait, okay, just stop. First of all, before we go there,
okay.
You have to hear the introduction.
Okay,
it was
okay.
Billy Jean's Marketing Presents. Flashback to Tyler Perry.
Yeah. Billy Jean's Marketing Presents. Try not to buy this. Where for 5 to 10 minutes, I pitch you something. And you're like, why would you want to listen to someone try and sell me something? Number one is because you're going to get the best deals on products that you didn't even think was possible. They're going to be never heard of deals before. And secondly, it is going to be hilarious. Every single pitch is about making people laugh, making people smile, giving them the best deals. And that is the entire concept of the podcast. Billy Jean's Marketing Presents, try not to buy this. Bring your credit cards.
I love it. When's it going there?
Yep. It may not even be on air when you guys are listening to this. So keep an eye, look on it. It's coming. Just know that.
At least go to BillyJeanIsMarketing.com. You'll at least get pixeled, and you'll be pixeled later to actually get an ad for
exactly
for that opportunity.
And the bonus tip to that on the podcast, why did I did it for two reasons. The Tyler Perry approach, Billy Jean's Marketing Presents, but also too, because we spent so many millions of dollars getting Billy Jean's Marketing out there. When people are scrolling, I want them to click. Same way, if you go to ESPN's podcast, they call it ESPN or all the bigger – or
ClickFunnels Radio is there now the, go. Exactly. The whole reason we changed it from Funnel Hacker Radio to ClickFunnels Radio.
It's the same thing there. Yeah. Oh, so, I appreciate you, man. This is awesome.
Hey, I love it. Again,
thanks for
dear friend,
me.
Thanks so much for your time today. Again, check it out, BillyJeanIsMarketing.com.
And everyone, use ClickFunnels. Like, it's probably the number one software that we use in our business. And you guys, a lot of you weren't doing this stuff when you had to go through WordPress and Joomla and all these other things to build a single page. No exaggeration, I remember selling this quit smoking program, and it took us 2.5 weeks to create two sales pages with the checkout process and the integrations. 2.5 weeks, which now takes you, no exaggeration, 3 minutes to do. And people sleep on the value. Like, I see you freaking clowns, you know, in the Facebook group getting so entitled, like, oh, this feature didn't work. Like, yo, you're just so, like, build your own. That's what I would say. Build your own. Build your own ClickFunnels. Or shut the heck up. And if you follow me, you know what I really just said.
All right. Billy, thanks so much, bud. We'll talk
to you guys later.